And I'm not going to get in some kind of a big message or something, but there is a word in my heart. And there's been enough preaching here today. If you would believe, the world could be saved. And you know, I'm not about ego, so I don't say I have to do something and have to do this. I think sometimes God does what we want to do, but we don't recognize when He does it. But for those here today in this room present, God orchestrated everything to be in your hearing. He did. He orchestrates. We know that He makes the birds and creates the flowers and the trees, but sometimes we realize that God's power is far-reaching. God's about all the things in us, and those things are awesome. Those are wonderful. They're beautiful. God created them. He said it was good, but He created you, and He created you with divine purpose. So today, you're confronting, some of you may hear today, may be confronting for the first time in your life, sensing something powerful in your life. Like, what is this? I can't explain this. Well, who can? Josh, who can explain what Jesus does in our life? I mean, I know books have been written about it. Movies have been made about it. But I'll be honest with you. Who can explain the miracle of salvation by grace? How God can reach down in somebody's life, remove a stony heart that's darkened by sin, and wash it with powerful grace and love with His blood. And put that back in your being. And set you on a new direction course. And give you a total spiritual heart transplant without leaving a scar. Now, isn't that pretty super miraculous? Amen? You know why Elijah's here today? It's because of Jesus. You know why you're here today? It's because of Jesus. So I want to tell you a short story. And by the way, we went yesterday to Barden. And for those who went over there to see the blind man's tale, I didn't know what I was going to be up against when I went over there. And I was just trying to think. Well, man, there was church in there. There was church in the middle of Barden Theater. And that was awesome. And for those of people who go, I want you to look at a character in the Bible, Acts chapter 24. Do you have your Bible? If you do, turn with me, Acts chapter 24. Everybody say, oh no, the pastor's getting his Bible. That means he's going to preach an hour. Some of you wouldn't care anyway. All right, you have your Bible? Acts 24. You don't even have to stand. Okay? If you want to, it's fine. Acts 24. I'm gonna read and share this character here. Now, let me say this. I know that sometimes we're guilty because we operate by our clocks. Life goes by our clocks because we got jobs, we got school, we got kids. And how many knows the world runs by a clock? But how many knows, and in the essence of God and what God's about, it's not about that. So we may look at our clock and say, "Woo, man, it's getting a little bit late." Well, it's not really late. But you know what? God's always on time. How many knows that? How many knows He's always on time? Can I say this? He's never late. He's never late. He's never early. He's always on time. So today, I'm going to share just this part right here about chapter 24 of Acts. And I want you to look at right here real quickly with me. Because there was a character in God's Word and the Apostle Paul. There's some players here in this story, but one of them was the Apostle Paul. And Apostle Paul was in prison for preaching the gospel. And he was in a Roman prison. He was in a Roman prison held by Romans, by the Roman governor. And the Roman governor at this time, his name was Felix. And he had a wife named Drusilla. How many knows the story that I'm talking about here? And so Paul wanted to share the gospel with him. And so it was Felix gave him an appointment to come and share the gospel with him. He gave him an opportunity to share the gospel with him. Let me say something to you right here, and this might sound a little weird, but there will never be an opportunity like right now. Because some of you in this room are so driven by your time and by your calendars and your watch, you already got next week, next month, and next year figured out. In fact, if you give me a calendar, you can go through there and you can go through your schedules. You've already got things mapped in there. And that's pretty presumptuous of us. Because in actuality, all we have is now. Today, in reality, folks, can I be real? I'm not going to just sugar it over for you, make it all, you know, warm and fuzzy. You know, that's awesome. But what I'm saying is that Felix had an opportunity to hear the gospel. You all today sitting in this room have an opportunity to hear the gospel. And there'll never be an opportunity like today. There's a Latin term that said it's carpe diem. How many's ever heard of that? Carpe diem. And that means seizing the day, taking the opportunity you have. Like the little girl said, when Jesus comes knocking at the door, I go answer it, mommy. So it's like you have this powerful opportunity. There'll never be an opportunity like right now. There'll never be. You won't have this opportunity again. You won't have this opportunity. This opportunity is about right now. Everybody shout now. And we're all in the now. We're all about what goes on now. We are. But it's important because Felix was a powerful, important man. He was a very mean man. He did some bad stuff as a governor in his jurisdiction. And he was about wiping people out, doing bad things. But he heard enough about the way. And when we talk about, when it uses in scripture here, the way, it's talking about he knew enough about Jesus and about the gospel and knowing that there was something more he wanted to hear about it. Something more he wanted to hear about it. So we pick up in verse 22. When Felix heard these things, having a more accurate knowledge of the way, and that's what we were just talking about, he adjourned. He adjourned the meeting. He put it off. He put it off. He just said, we'll put it off. How many in here are guilty of putting things off? Come on. Most people, all of you all, man, you all got it all down. You don't put anything off, right? Every person in this room have been guilty of one time in your life of procrastinating, putting something off. And my wife over there sitting with a big million-dollar smile on her face because she's got a list that long that I've been working on for 5 years, Josh. Where have you been, my brother? You're supposed to come down and help your brother in the time of need. Oh, did you hear that? He said, I got my own list. But Joy, she just sort of bowed her head down, smiled a little bit. Yeah, it's a big list. But how many knows we're all guilty of putting it off? Tomorrow, putting off tomorrow what we should have done today. But I want to say to you, there's something you do not want to put off. And that's your salvation. Because when God calls, you got to think about what this is about. When God calls, it's a privilege. God, who is rich in mercy, the Bible said he is long-suffering and he is patient and he is not willing that any come, that any perish, but all, everybody shout, all come to repentance. That means he has made the cross. He has made redemption. He has made the blood. He has made the plan of salvation available for you today. Amen. Today. Because I'm reminded in the scripture where Paul says in Hebrews again, he says, today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts. Do you know in ministry of 40 years that I have seen people harden their hearts against the gospel? That the Lord called, the Lord called, the Lord called, and people kept resisting, kept refusing, kept resisting. But how could you resist someone who is reaching life to you when life is fleeting you? Think about that. It's like throwing a lifeline out in the middle of the sea and you're drowning and a life preserver is right there, but you say, I don't need it. I got this all figured out. Let me tell you, you need the life preserver. You need Jesus. How many knows you need Jesus? Bottom line, you need Jesus. You said, no, I need $1 million. No, you need Jesus. You say, I need a fancy car. No, you need Jesus. You say, I need clothes. No, you need Jesus. You say, I need a cheeseburger. No, you need Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, you need Jesus. That's real. There's a lot of things in this life you think you need, but you don't need. Guys, want me to tell you? When the last breath is leaving your body, it won't matter. Is this all right? Okay, I said I was going to be quick. So hang on. So he procrastinated. He put it off. He put the proceedings off. He postponed it. He postponed it. And the Bible said, it'll come, Paul. I will make a decision concerning your case. Can I say today, there's a case open here. And it's your case. It's your case. You're on trial. Oh, now don't start talking about that kind of stuff, Pastor. Me on trial? Yes. You're on trial. And listen, every person in this room is guilty of all the crimes towards you. Oh, we look at people that are incarcerated and say, oh, they deserve it. They need that. They deserve it. Listen, if most of the people in this room had got what you deserve, we'd all be there or worse. But there is a God who is rich in mercy, who has shown his loving kindness toward you. And while you were sinners, Christ became the substitute for you. He became your mediator, your counselor, your lawyer when you stood before guilty as charged, Grant. Guilty. Let's be real. Let's don't try to quote, well, I haven't done that much in your life. You've sinned. We've all sinned. We've all come short. We've all messed up. We've all gone our way. We've all done things, and some maybe a little worse than others, but we've all sinned. We all fall in that category of just being a full blatant sinner who needs God's love. So we stand before this judge, and knowing that Jesus did something when he went to the cross. So here was Paul, who was in prison, now standing before his accusers, standing before the one who had supposedly the power to take his life or release his life. But the one who was in power, the one who was in charge. Let me tell you, you're not in charge of your life. You're not in charge. Listen, John the Baptist says, I don't even have the power to get up and untie my shoes without the Lord helping me. I don't have that ability within myself. So as we stand before the judge of the universe, guilty of our sin, I'm reflecting about the one who stood between us and our conviction. You see, because somebody stepped out of heaven, somebody left the splendor of glory, somebody left the atmosphere of the most holy, someone stood up, and when Isaiah said, "There is no man," I looked, John the Revelator, I looked everywhere, and I could find no one until the Son of God stood up and said, "Father, I'll go and I'll die. I'll go and I'll go between them. I'll go and deliver them. I'll go and redeem them. I'll go and set them free. I'll go and set them free." So Jesus came and he died on the cross. He bore our guilt. He bore our conviction. He bore our condemnation. He bore our sins. He took upon himself the sins of this world that ever will be. Rick, every will be, ever was. He took upon himself those sins. He, in his death, associated himself, and he carried that. And he died on the cross. And the price was paid. The old account was settled long ago. You ever heard that song? And the old account was settled long ago. Somebody washed my sins away. How many knows that God washed your sins away? He gave you an opportunity. So as you stand before this judge today, in your own righteousness, you have none. You have no covering. You have no standing. You have no right place. But God, in his mercy and his love, in his great reach to you, Jesus became our sacrifice. Jesus became our payment. Jesus became our atonement. And he stood between us and the Father with his own death. He took his own blood and he wiped him clean. And for all those who come by the way of the cross, who receive that powerful blood for their cleansing, one day we'll stand before an eternal judge, eternal God, and listen, knowing that Jesus became the advocate between you and God. He became the propitiation for our sins, and he died for you. And because of that death, because of that life, he paid the payment. He said you could go free. So everybody who stands guilty before a holy God, knowing that you have no representation in your own, knowing that Jesus became your high priest, he became your go-between. Now today, you are represented before a holy God by the blood that washed away your sins and said, "I paid it. I paid it. I paid it. I pardon you." So here he was. So he sent for Paul again. "Today, this is your decision. And may I remind you that mom can't make this decision for you. Grandma can't make this decision for you. Your family can't make this decision for you." A lot of people, we get into our decisions. Kathy accuses me of being somebody always who's been undecisive. Even years ago, picking a tie. She picked all my ties. I don't have to worry about that anymore because I don't wear any ties anymore except to a funeral every now and then. But, you know, I pick a tie and I go all to the store, bring her and said, "Listen, help me decide which tie to get." She said, "Just get it. I like it." There are some decisions that you can make. But sometimes those decisions you can, you know, you want to get people involved. "Help me just, you know, help me figure this out." But when it comes right down to it, you have to make the decision. Nobody can make it for you. The one on your left or your right can't make it for you. This is your decision. This is your day. The Lord wanted me to tell you that this morning. I felt like saying that earlier, but I didn't. that I feel the Holy Spirit saying, somebody in here today, this is your day. This is your day. Isn't that awesome? Because as well as this room is full of people, it's about the individual. It's about your decision. It's a personal decision. Can't make it for you. I wanted my children to get a hold of Jesus a lot earlier than they did. And early on they did. But then they were like sheep. They went astray and they turned to their own ways. But God, the shepherd He is, brought them back to the fold. And I want to say to you, this is your day and this is your decision. So He had a decision to make. What am I going to do with Paul? The Jews hate him. And I don't want to look flimsy. I don't want to look weak. I don't want to look soft in front of my peers. So what am I going to do with this man? So he sent for Paul again. And here's Paul. We're parking here, living here. So he sent for Paul, brought him concerning the faith in Christ. So here Paul stood before this powerful man, this governor, and he said, Paul, I'm going to hear your story. Every one of you have got a story to tell. You meet people every day that needs to hear your story. You may not get in a pulpit and preach a three-part sermon. You may not do this. You may not be a seminary preacher or a seminary teacher or a student. But you have a story. Everyone who has been redeemed by grace has a powerful story to tell. And that story points to Jesus. It doesn't point to you. It points to Jesus who have brought you to this place right now. Because Bobby, had it not been for the grace of God, you would be up on a hillside somewhere with people coming every Memorial Day, putting a few little flowers on your grave and looking at your picture, inscription on, and having wonderful memories. Why, this is Bobby. I remember him. But you know what? That sounds a little, I don't mean to sound gory with that or morbid, but what I'm saying is you have this opportunity today. You have this existence today to stand right here before the Christ of heaven, before the King of glory. You have this decision to make, and it's right now. It's right now. Say it's right now. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So it's that faith in this Christ that brings us to the cross and makes us realize that we're sinners and makes us realize that we need Jesus in our life. And the Holy Spirit does something in our life. He confronts us with something called conviction. We feel something. We feel a stirring and moving. We can't understand it all. We don't know it. We can't hardly explain it. But we know that some way, somehow, the presence of the Lord is in the atmosphere and something is moving, something is changing, something is reaching, something is happening. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. So he stood before Paul to hear his story. And Paul told him. And it all made sense to the government, to the governor. But this is what he said. I'm leaving here. And I'm going to leave this with you. Now as he, that's called needing stronger glasses or stronger lights. Now as he reasoned about righteousness or right living, he thought about it. Paul, this, it sort of makes sense, but how can I do that? How can I be about that? How, you just expect me to give all of this up? What can I do? I know that this all makes sense. I know. And this is what he said. He reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come. But Felix was afraid. He was afraid. And I've seen down through the years preaching so many revivals. I can take you to places that I can see. I could almost see imprints of fingers on pews, the back of pews, where people gripped to an old pew or a bench hard when the Lord was dealing and speaking to the heart, sitting there with tears streaming down their face, hitting the carpet or hitting the old floor. Listen, crying so hard that they can't hardly see. Conviction present there. And the Lord moving and they're reasoning about all of this powerful stuff. But somehow or another, the enemy gets a gouge in there. And he uses something called fear. Because we have a fear, we can't live it. Can I answer that fear right here real quickly? Guess what? You can't. You can't live the Christian faith on your own. You can't live it in your own power, your own strength, your own might. That's why the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, it will be in you, enabling you to live the Christian faith. So people have a fear, I can't live it. People have a fear, well, I want it to be real. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I know so many. I hear this. You think I'm making this up. I hear it. I hear people say, well, there are people that I know that go to church and they really don't live it, which ought to be an encouragement to everybody here that's in the faith, how important it is for you to live your faith out loud. Not saying that you're perfect, but saying that you're real and letting people see the light of light in you and seeing Christ's example on you, because you're either casting a shadow or you're casting a light. You can't do both. You can't do both. You can't do both. You can't have one foot in and one foot out. So the powerful truth is people are afraid. I was there. Many of you were there. I'm afraid that I can't live it. I'm afraid that I won't hold out. I'm afraid I can't understand it. I'm afraid that I won't be able to measure up. I've been a failure all my life, and I'm afraid if I make this step, I'll fail. Make the step and look, God help you live the faith. Amen. Make the step. Make the decision today, not tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. You don't have tomorrow. You have today. You have today. I'm 20. I'm 19. I'm 18. Wow. I've got the bull by the horns. I'm young. I'm strong and I'm healthy and I can do anything and all this thing. And we have that Superman, Superwoman syndrome. We think we can do anything. Kathy said that at one time. She didn't literally, blatantly say that, but you know, we were reminded one time how fragile all this was as we was driving a little country road up toward Jenkins, Kentucky, and a little yellow doodle bug, that's all I can say, a little yellow VW bug, and that was when bugs were bugs, you know, back in the hippie days, Pam. Yeah, when we didn't have peace signs and everything written on it, but we had barefoot bell bottoms and long hair and all that. And Kathy and I thought we were invincible. We were in school, we were in college, and we had a youngin' and all that. And he was in the car, and we were driving up toward Jenkins, and a big, huge car come out of nowhere and hit us broadside. Kathy went plunging forward and into the dash and into the windshield, and the steering wheel held me out. That was before safety bags, by the way. And our little two-year-old boy come flying from the back seat forward. He's preaching the gospel today. So it all just went right there. So Kathy began to reason righteousness. The Holy Spirit reminded her there how fragile life is. Life is fragile. It's fragile. It's one heartbeat. So today, live today. Live today like Jesus is the best thing in your life. Don't postpone. Don't put off. The Lord of glory one who wants to do so much in your life. Quit fiddle-faddling, playing around with your faith. Quit being nonchalant as though you got it all figured out, because we all need Jesus. When it's said and done, we all need it. So he reasoned this stuff. He reasoned this. What do we do with this story today? Can I ask you that? What are you going to do with this story? Let me ask you another question. What are you going to do with this man, Jesus? What are you going to do with him? Question. What are you going to do with him? Will you hear his story? Will you embrace his story? Will you accept his story by faith? And that's all. That's not figuring it all out, because I don't know anybody that's got it all figured out, my friend. Did you understand everything about Jesus when you come to know Jesus? No. They said, no. Do you understand everything there is to know about him right now? No. But we go on to know him, learning more and more about him. But we accept that by faith. So what are you going to do with him today? What are you going to do with his story? Do we believe it? Will we embrace it? Or will we ignore it? Will we postpone it? Will we put it off? Will we resist or run? Or will we simply say, I can't make this decision today. I don't want to shoot anybody's big bouquet of balloons down. But that's a cop out. Because it is about today. When you say, I'll work it out someday, you're being presumptuous about the opportunity that God has afforded you at his expense. So today, will you come? You don't have to blaspheme God to be lost. You don't have to murder somebody or steal to be lost. You don't have to fall into the darkest sin anybody can imagine to be lost. You don't have to be, you can be respectable and be lost. You can go to church every Sunday and carry a Bible and be lost. You can sing in the choir and be lost. You can be successful and be lost. You can take your place with a social group, and you can run civic organizations. You can do nice things and have a nice life, but be lost. You can even like church. You can even stand up for the right things and still be lost. All it takes is just to drift into eternity without God, knowing that you're lost. And today, closing with this reminder of what Paul told Felix. When he said, all of this makes sense, Felix. But he responded to Paul. He says, when I have a convenient time, I'll send for you. Now, let me tell you a little quick second history. You never read of Felix ever coming to Jesus. In fact, 2 years down the road, he was stripped of his power and somebody replaced him. But I believe that Felix will stand before God one day and he'll give an account of that message that Paul preached to him. What will you do with this story, Paul? What will you do with grace? What will you do with God? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with the Christ? What will you do with him today? What will you do? See, we make God out. We make in the American culture today, in the Western culture, we make Christianity all about convenience. Can I say something to you? Nothing convenient about that. Well, I'll come when I have time. Nothing convenient about that. I'll do when I can. Nothing convenient about that. How is it that we've skipped all the gospels and we've skipped and we put off all the calls of Jesus when he comes to people and he simply say he didn't have a one chorus altar call song? Nothing wrong with that. That's powerful. Down through the years, it's been powerfully effective. But Jesus never gave an altar call, and he never got a song. He never got a band. He never did any of this, and all this is awesome, and I thank God that we have been blessed with the greatest. I know that. But listen, Jesus just came to people, stood right in front of them, like Matthew 19, and he said, follow me. Follow me. And if any man will follow me, let him deny. Everybody shout, not deny. That's part of surrender. That's part of humility. Deny yourself, because he's a bad dude to deal with. Deny yourself and come and take up his cross and follow me. So we made it about convenience. We made it about all about if we have time, if we can work it in. If your life is only about trying to work God in, then something is messed up. Your life should be about God in the center and him helping you work your life out. Amen? So today, what will you do with it? Will you say, I don't have time today, Paul? It's not convenient for me. This is, oh man, this is not convenient. I actually had a person tell me that probably more than one time, but I remember one person said, he just said, I really just don't have time for it right now. Really, just don't have time. Imagine Jesus and our desperate need for him. Going to him. I know this sounds a little heavy, but going to him. Crying out to this mighty God, this merciful God. And Jesus saying to us, sorry, I don't have time for your case today. Wow. Think about that. But I need you, Lord, but I don't have time for your case today. But the Lord is merciful. He's long-suffering. He's not willing. He's reaching today to you. So what will you do with it? Can we all bow our heads? You all been so gracious. I didn't preach an hour. So I'm going to ask you a question. Today, what will you do with Jesus? Will you accept him? Will you receive him? Will you open your heart? Will you start this powerful journey today? Will you give your life to it? Will you just simply come and say, Jesus, I realize I'm lost. I need you. I realize and know that without you, I can't do this on my own. I don't have it all figured out. I don't understand it. I don't know it. But I don't have to figure it all out. I just want to come. And I want to receive you as my Savior. I want to accept your blood to wash away and pay for my sins, because it did. And I receive that to cleanse my life and give me a new life. Give me a new beginning. Help me today to live the Christian faith. That's as simple, powerful as it is. So if you're here today and God has spoken to your heart and you're putting things off in your faith, raise your hand with me right now and say, Pastor, I need prayer. God bless that hand. Anybody else? God bless those hands. Those hands. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up with mine. That won't save you. God bless that hand. Anybody else? Just slip your hand up with mine and say, pray for me. God bless that hand. Anybody else? Be real honest. You got to be real honest. Listen, God can't help you unless you're honest. God bless. God bless you. Be honest. God bless that hand. Anyone else right now? Just slip your hand up all over the building. People raise their hand. Come on. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Today is the day. Now is the time. Now's the moment. God bless that hand. God bless that hand. Listen, God's getting ready to change your life. I know it. God's getting ready to do something phenomenal, incredible in your life. It's your day. This is it. You're standing, and this is your day today. This is your time. This is your moment. God set this time here today for you. For you. So, I'm getting ready to do something here. The Lord is extending mercy to you. And He wants you to take advantage of this opportunity. He wants you to seize the moment. He wants you to wrap your arms around the moment and just simply receive Him in your heart. And let God help you live the Christian faith. Let God help you, because you can't do it yourself. But He'll help you. He'll strengthen you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He'll equip you. He'll do all the things necessary in life to help you live the Christian faith. But you got to trust Him. How many knows you got to trust Him? So this is a moment called trust. Right now. Last time I'm going to ask, if you're here and God's dealing with your heart, slip your hand up with mine and say, "Pastor, pray for me right now. God, help me." God bless that hand. Thank you for being so honest. Someone else right now, slip your hand up. I believe God's speaking, and I know He's speaking. I feel Him speaking. Last time, God bless that hand. And those, I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to do the greatest single thing you've ever done in your life, and that's make a step of trust to commit your life to Christ. Commit your heart to Him, faith to Him right now. Believe in Him with all your heart, so much that you're willing to take the risk and go, even though you know you don't have it figured out, even though you don't understand everything there is to understand. You understand there's a God who loves you, and He's reaching for you today. On the count of three, I want everybody on that third number to stand, and I want every person in here that knows Jesus to pray fervently. God, save the lost. Rescue the perishing. Lord, change somebody's life today. Give somebody hope today in Jesus' name. 1, 2, 3. If you raise your hand, come on. Come on. Come on right now. Don't put Him off. Right now, come. 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 You can't figure Him out. You'll never figure Him out. Just trust Him. Just trust Him. Just believe in Him. Believe in Him right now. There were several hands that were raised. Come on, right now, obey the Lord. Obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord. There are people that will help minister you at the altar. Come on, right now. Just come. Just come. Just come. Just come. They're coming right now, all over the building. Come on. Come to Christ. Come to Him.